ancient world knew. The other is Christian, Latin, and by a late Spanish poet and civil administrator named Prudentius. Prudentius counsels active resistance to cope with temptation, whereas Plutarch counsels passive resistance in the face of injustice. Indeed, as we shall see, he may have even invented the concept. And while Plutarch's advice comes in the form of a straightforward self-help essay, Prudentius's is cast as a thrilling allegory of inner conflict, modeled on Virgil's Aeneid, titled Psychomachia, or in English, Armageddon in Mind. The poem pits avatars of willpower against our inner demons in an epic showdown between good and evil. The action is cinematic, the imagery ingenious, and the best part is that because abstract nouns are grammatically feminine in Latin, all the combatants are sword-swinging warrior women. Both works are forgotten today. What unites them is a shared insistence on two points. First, is that we allow pressure or temptations to get the best of us, indeed, in some ways even want it. And second, that we are not helpless victims of those pressures. We can do something about them. On Vice, Virtue, and Willpower. When Hercules heard this, he asked, "Lady, what is your name?" "My friends call me Happiness," she replied, "but those who hate me have their own name for me. Vice." Prodicus, on Hercules. Vice. Drinking, gambling, sex, smoking, shopping, porn, appears to be the self-destructive pursuit of happiness. Vices are the demons that we struggle with and sometimes succumb to. They're often criminalized. But what is vice, really? Is it sin, mental illness, or stupidity? If I can't resist cupcakes and develop a weight problem, for example, what's to blame? Imps and gremlins, or brain impulses and ghrelin? Or is it simply that, all things considered, I prefer overeating for the taste, for the satiety, or because it helps me manage stress, to the inevitable consequences? And conversely, if I want to regain control over my eating, how should I do it? Exercise my demons ritually, or exercise habitually? Or should I try to excise those demons surgically and undergo a bariatric or brain operation? For these are, after all, the only three possibilities. We can demonize bad behavior as sin, blame it on Satan or witches, and seek theological relief. We can pathologize bad behavior as addiction, blame it on genes, chemicals, and imbalances, or substances, and seek medical relief. Or we can take responsibility for bad behavior, blame it on no one but ourselves, and recognize, as psychologist Jeffrey Shaler maintains, that addiction is a choice. A stupid, stubborn, and difficult one, perhaps, but ultimately a choice. The collapse of the Western Roman Empire in the 5th century ushered in a new understanding of the world. That collapse and the simultaneous rise of theological fanaticism in the Eastern Roman Empire brought an end to the rationalist analysis of vice among the educated classes of Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East. As they abandoned classical philosophy, these regions reverted to universal belief in supernaturalism, mysticism, and mythology, and of a more pernicious kind than what had come before. Vice now became sin, a crime against God. It was invited or caused by Satan, his minions, and witches. As the Middle Ages went on, this supernatural worldview became entrenched and hardened. Toward the end, as the Middle Ages gave way in Europe to the Renaissance and Reformation, some 100,000